You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts his money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. All right, we got a great show lined up for you today. We got a little bit of something for everybody. We're going to break down NFL games from a gambling perspective. What a shock. Mark Lawrence is going to join us. We spent a lot of time talking college football with Mark Lawrence over the season, but we're going to take a couple of days off from the college grid, break down a full slate of NFL football games on the board with Mark Lawrence. Paul Bovey's going to join us. We'll take a look at the Thursday nighter. Huge Thursday nighter, man. So I think it's time to start breaking it down between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Raiders. This might have Super Bowl implications, actually. This is getting interesting right now. But I don't want to freak out our graphics man, Luke, in the booth right now and tell him that I'm all in on the Kansas City Chiefs, because I'm pretty much like a mobster who kisses you and then you die. You know, it's one of those deals. You don't want my blessing. Oh, Don Gabriel, please give us your blessing. I give you my blessing. Bam! You die. It's like people asking me. I've been in the industry a long time. Hey, Morenci, can I get an internship? Morenci, can I get a reference? Can you hook me up? Can you get me a job? I'm like, guys, I'm 30 seconds away from getting fired, you know, for the last 15 years, all right? Like, you're coming to me for help? You're coming to the wrong person. But Paul Bovey's going to help us. We're going to break down. We got some cool NBA games on top tonight, man. The Golden State Warriors are averaging 120 points a game now. 120 points a game. That's what they're scoring. We got a total of like 224 tonight against the Clippers. You know, the Clippers and the Warriors don't like each other either, man. We're going to break this down. We got the Cavaliers and the Knicks on the board. The Lakers and the Rockets on television tonight. So we got a lot of cool NBA games to break down. I got some picks for you. We've had a pretty good week so far this week. We look to keep it going, because when you bet, whatever, man, you got to do it a couple of days in a row. Otherwise, it doesn't mean anything. You end up being down juice. All right, we're also going to talk to a Super Bowl champion. We got it all, man. We got it all. We have one of the most dynamic wide receivers ever to play in a National Football League, former Dallas Cowboy standout. And you know you're a badass. Well, first off, you know you're a badass. You know, if you're a Super Bowl winner, you're a badass. But if you're in the Ring of Honor, you're a badass. Whatever team you're on, if you're in the Ring of Honor, if you're in the Dallas Cowboys Ring of Honor, then you must be pretty good. And, you know, the NFL Network recently did a documentary feature on the greatest Cowboys ever, Drew Pearson. Wide receiver Drew Pearson checked in as the 10th greatest Dallas Cowboy player ever. He checks in with us today on Game Time Decisions. So as I stated, there's a ton of stuff to get to today. But I want to start the program off by talking about the Heisman Trophy, as the Heisman Trophy candidates were recently announced. And you know, it hasn't gotten a ton of media and a ton of fanfare due to the fact that we've all been debating, we've all been talking about the college football playoffs and who should have been in. The Heisman kind of flew under the radar when it was all said and done. And I got to be honest with you. I know that everybody loves me melting down every Monday on who ruined your Sunday. But for the most part, I'm not as angry as I appear to be on a daily basis. I'm usually like out of these 5 days in a week, I'm usually like really pissed off about three out of the five. Today, I actually wasn't. Today, I was thinking about doing an opening rant on Chris Sale and the Boston Red Sox, and I was going to talk about big money in baseball and whatever. But I walked into the studio, and camera two Drew. He's actually an inspiration to me today, as camera two Drew starts chirping about the Heisman and about how Jabril Peppers is overrated. And, you know, camera two Drew says a lot of dumb things. But, you know, I sort of just, you know, it doesn't get to me, all right? You know, because I know that camera two Drew likes to provoke. Yet this time I stopped dead in my tracks. I was told, you don't know what the hell you're talking about, all right? But let's break it down from a more serious note here. So the Heisman Trophy candidates have been announced. Lamar Jackson has been the front runner all year long, man. The media is going to have to get checked for STDs. They've been blowing this guy so hard all year long. You know, all right, is he good? Yeah, he's real good. Did he put up big numbers? Yeah, he put up big freaking numbers, man. He accumulated 51 touchdowns, all right? Okay, that's all good, but let's be real. In today's day and age, man, in college football, it's like, you know, a softball guy putting up big numbers in a beer league. Yeah, whatever, man. Every quarterback puts up massive numbers nowadays. Lamar Jackson, to me, explosive, dynamic, you know, extremely entertaining and fun player to watch play football. But Heisman Trophy, eh, you know, you guys lost a bunch of games. You know, how did he do in the big games? Not too well. So, I'm not buying in. Yet the odds makers evidently are. You have to bet $3,300 to get $100 back. He's a 33-1 favorite, man. All right, so just give the guy the trophy right now. I guess, you know, Lamar Jackson. So Deshaun Watson, I think Deshaun Watson has got a real future in the National Football League. Deshaun Watson's tools, he's got great tools to be an NFL quarterback. He's on a one-loss team. He's in the playoffs. He was in the championship game last year. The kid's a hell of a quarterback. What I like about Deshaun Watson is he plays well under pressure. This kid's been, you know, he's taken a lot of snaps under pressure where he needed a touchdown, where he needed a first down, where he needed to lead a comeback. What I don't like is the interceptions, and that's a little bit of a concern going into the National Football League, but he sort of reminds me of Jameis Winston in that sense. You know, Jameis Winston threw interceptions too, and he still does sometimes. We're seeing Jameis Winston develop into a hell of a quarterback in the National Football League, and I think Deshaun Watson will be a hell of a quarterback in the National Football League, but I don't think he's the Heisman Trophy winner. You threw 15 interceptions, dude, which leads us to the Oklahoma Sooners. Now, I don't know what the deal is, man. The media love Lamar Jackson. The Sooners, like, blow up and choke in big games all the time, yet they have not one but two players going to New York, in Baker Mayfield and in DeeDee Westbrook. Now, I'm talking about beer league numbers, man. The Big 12 defense blows, all right? Seriously. Let's look at the Baylor quarterbacks. They put up big numbers, too. I don't care about the numbers, man. You got to show me that you're the best damn player in the country. Does anybody think that Baker Mayfield is the best player in the country? It's ridiculous that he's even going to New York. Sorry, Baker, but I'm just being real here, man. Dalvin Cook. Dalvin Cook should have gotten the invite. What about Jake Browning, kid out of Washington? You know, they wanted to screw the Huskies and not put him in the playoffs, and now they screwed a kid. This kid was money, put up monster numbers, only lost one game, isn't in the Final Four. Yet he couldn't make the final cut as far as the Heisman is concerned, which leads us to the man who I think is the best player in college football, Jabril Peppers of the Michigan Wolverines. Now, the committee, they don't like giving it to a defensive guy, and they haven't done it since they gave it to another Michigan player that Peppers is often compared to, and that is, of course, Charles Woodson. Mante Teo and his invisible girlfriend were the last defensive players to get invited to the proceedings. But you look at his dominance, man. 66 tackles, 13 of them are for losses. Kid's got 3 touchdowns on the season. He's got a pick. He's got like 3.5 sacks. Oh, yeah. He's got like 700 yards of total yardage, averages 26 yards per return. Rush for like 170 yards. We can go on, play quarterback in a Wildcat set. He is the most dynamic and best playmaker. To me, Jabril Peppers should be the Heisman Trophy winner. But what the hell do I know? Nothing. All right? Because Jabril Peppers is 50-1. All right? So they're going to give this damn thing to Lamar Jackson. I don't think he... Does he deserve it? Well, whatever. Life isn't fair. It is what it is. But it's a cold world that we live in, people. And sad news to note, winning a Heisman Trophy doesn't guarantee National Football League success. And hell, it doesn't even guarantee your own personal life success. As we've seen, all right, unfortunately, Rashad Salaam just took his own life. 42 years old only. Former Heisman Trophy running back, winner out of Colorado with the Colorado Buffaloes. Played in the National Football League with the Bears, ended up in the Canadian Football League with the Toronto Argonauts, where that was where he played his last games. But my thoughts and prayers with the family of Rashad Salaam is it's amazing to think that, you know, 27 years ago or whatever it was, 20 years ago, he was winning a Heisman Trophy. It's how the wheels turn. For all the Marcus Mariota success stories, and Marcus Mariota's a Heisman Trophy winner, good kid, looks like he's going to have a long, successful National Football League career. There's a Johnny Manziel who spends more time in a courtroom than anywhere else right now. And on a more serious note, look at Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow's a Heisman Trophy winner. The guy's playing minor league baseball poorly right now. On a more extreme note, O.J. Simpson won a Heisman Trophy. He ended up killing two people, all right? So... Ultimately, winning a Heisman Trophy is cool at the time, but it doesn't guarantee anything. The only thing that it actually does guarantee you is if you don't pull an O.J. Simpson and allegedly kill two people, you'll always make money and you'll always have a place to live in the Heisman house. And who wouldn't want to live in the Heisman house? Game Time Decisions continues. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. We are live, in case you are wondering. The show replays at 5:30 on television, 5 o'clock on the radio. Download the Fantasy Sports Network app for all your Fantasy Sports Network content. And you can get it on your iTunes, your Android, and all that other stuff. Just like you can get the Playbook Cube Edition. Mark Lawrence, playbook.com, available on your mobile devices. Mark Lawrence is going to join us. We got Paul Bovey joining us in a couple of minutes. We're going to talk some basketball with Bovey. And we've got a great, great, great wide receiver, somebody that I grew up watching play football. Played in 3 Super Bowls, 3-time Pro Bowler, former Dallas Cowboy great, Drew Pearson, will join us. And I know Mark Lawrence remembers Drew Pearson very well. Mark, always a pleasure. How you doing?
I'm doing terrific, Gabe. How are you doing? I love your shirt. Ha ha, H-A-H. It reminds me of Home Away, Home Away.
Yeah, I like that. You know what? It's actually the Joker, Mark, from the Batman movie. I can go all out there here. Yeah, I didn't know.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can go all out here. Like, yeah, I can't zip it up because of the mic, but nevertheless, usually this scares people. Zip it up in a strip club. You really want to scare the dancers, Mark.
That's one thing you don't want to do, yeah.
I nearly got shot in East L.A. doing that one night, but that's besides the point. So, you know, off the top, I talked, we're going to talk some NFL football, but I talked about the Heisman candidates off the top. And, Mark, unfortunately, with Rashad Salaam taking his life yesterday, or at least that's the initial reports, that there was a suicide note, only 42 years old. You know, O.J. Simpson won a Heisman Trophy. You know, winning a Heisman Trophy doesn't guarantee anything in the future. That's the cold, hard facts.
No, it doesn't. And, in fact, it doesn't even guarantee performance on the field. A lot of Heisman winners just don't play up to that same level when they turn professional athletes. And because of that, there's a lot of disappointment in their lives, whether it's because of lack of performance or their careers bust.
Good point. And
unfortunate what we saw yesterday, and all the way back to O.J. Simpson, who can't watch this broadcast because he's sitting in jail behind bars right now.
We are available in Nevada now, but I don't think O.J.'s watching us right now. That's a great point that you raised, though, that leads to the depression after the fact, because you're on top of the world. You're 20 years old. You're 21 years old. You win the Heisman. You end up going to the National Football League. You know, that's an incredible high, man. And if you're a Heisman Trophy winner, Mark, chances are you were a big star in high school. And you were the man in Pop Warner even type thing. So you've sort of always been the guy your whole life. Next thing you know, you're 26, you're 27, you're out of the National Football League, and you're kind of looked upon a loser. You know, like the Johnny Manziel dealing with this right now. Johnny Manziel was Heisman Trophy winner. I mean, you know, I look at Troy Smith, member from Ohio State. Kid ended up on the Montreal Alouettes as a backup, you know, making like $100K a year, Mark.
Yeah, it's unbelievable to find out the ups and downs of these Heisman Trophy winners, and more downs than ups, it seems. It's nice to see the Desmond Howard stories. You watch him on ESPN.
Yep.
You know, he's really made a nice life, a nice career for himself. But, you know, unfortunate tragedies like we incurred yesterday, they're really, really hard to swallow. And you just wish the best for these kids because they need some guidance when they come out of college.
Yeah, you know what? And I said on the plus note, on the lighter side of things, that if you don't pull an O.J. and you don't kill anyone, you can always live in that Nissan Heisman house, Mark. It looks pretty cool there. Right? You hang out with Marcus Allen and Marcus Mariota and Doug Flutie. And, like, there are a lot of Heisman success stories, but it's sort of hit or miss. So let's get to the NFL. But quickly on this, it looks like Lamar Jackson's the guy. I mean, he's a minus 3,300 favorite for a reason.
He does look like the guy. I mean, he was the guy all season long. But, geez, if you vote on what you saw last, you're not going to vote for Lamar Jackson. I think Deshaun Watson might make a big push. This could be a little bit closer than I think people are anticipating.
Yeah, I would agree with you. We're going to break that down from a gambling standpoint later in the week. But I think Deshaun Watson is worth a sprinkle. And for my money, I think Jabril Peppers is the most deserving. But they didn't beat Ohio State. So let's jump in here. Raiders, Chiefs. on Thursday night. You know, one thing that caught my eye in reading the playbook, Mark, and we encourage people to check out playbook.com or get it on your mobile device, the wealth of information. One thing that caught my eye is the fact that the Raiders are 5-1 in the ITSs, in the stats, in their last six games during their six-game win streak. Meanwhile, the Kansas City Chiefs, their winners, they're 6-1 straight up in their last seven football games. But they've lost the stats. They've been out-yarded in five of their last six football games, five straight, actually, Mark. Does this catch up to teams eventually?
I think it does. I call that leaking oil when teams are playing as poorly on the field as Kansas City is. Five straight in the stats losses, now favored to a hungry football team playing their best ball of the season. Those numbers you mentioned, 5-1 ITS for Oakland, that tells us they're playing real good football on the field here. I think right now the wrong team is favored in the football game. There's a lot of support for Kansas City because of their record on the scoreboard, but Oakland just does not quit in football games. We saw it against Buffalo last week. That second half comeback against the Bills was mighty, mighty impressive here. I can only look at Oakland in this contest.
Yeah, and there's a lot of numbers on the Raiders' side of the ledger, with the Raiders being 10-3 against the spread the last 13 trips to Arrowhead. Raiders 9-0 straight up against the spread last night as division dogs of 6 points or less. The weather could be a factor. It is going to be cold. They're expecting it's going to be about 29 degrees. It's going to be very windy. Could be rainy as well. David Carr, when asked about the weather, said, hey, I played in a Mountain West Conference, man. I played at Colorado State. I played at Wyoming. I'm used to playing in the snow.
Exactly right. Exactly right. You've also got that revenge factor in mind here. The last loss Oakland took was against this Kansas City team. That's the last time they tasted defeat. So, you know, that's also fresh on their minds. I think this is a really, really good Thursday night football game. I'd love to see it, whether it's Thursday night, Sunday night. It's a primetime football game worth watching. These are two playoff caliber teams.
Well, it's a massive game because whoever wins legitimately could get a playoff bye. I mean, if the Chiefs win the game, they beat them twice. They're going to win the division. If the Chiefs can get it, like, this is massive, man. Like, and I wonder about the Raiders if they can go on the road and beat the Patriots on the road. I don't know. It'll be Tuck Gate all over again, actually. But real interesting game. But you like the live dog here, huh?
Yeah, what you take a look at this Oakland team. They have done nothing wrong on the road. They've been out there six times. They won all six football games away from Oakland this year. They've really proven their mettle away from home. In fact, you kind of play against them at home and you play on them on the road. They didn't deliver the goods against Buffalo last week. They did against Carolina. They failed to get the money. I think this is a great home-road dichotomy football team in their perfect role in this game Thursday night.
I've been buying what Coach Caldwell has been selling with the Detroit Lions. Going back to last year with Jim Bob Cooter taking over as the offensive coordinator. They've just been on a tear, man, the Lions. And against the spread tear, they don't get a lot of respect. I wish I could go in a time machine and step back to last week and re-bet that game. I love the Lions. I got them on the money line. But hindsight, man, the Lions getting six last week against the Saints. This is the first week, first time this year, looks like the public and the odds makers have jumped on board with the Lions. You got the Bears coming to town. It's 9 points. I love it, and you wrote about it. And, Mark, I actually won a Survivor, $5,000 week with the Packers. But if I was still alive, I'd be thinking long and hard about the Detroit Lions as a Survivor pick. But I'm not so sure about laying 9 points here.
I agree with you. You know, my first observation was this Detroit football team looks to be a little bit for real here right now, but dig deep inside these numbers here. They haven't really beat anybody that's worth anything this football season here. Their wins against Minnesota, a struggling Minnesota team, they beat Jacksonville, Minnesota again. Philadelphia, the Rams, don't have any quality wins. And what I don't like the most of all here is you say 6-point underdog winners, now better than touchdown favorites. That's a real, real big swing in a line. The Chicago Bears look all but dead, but sometimes dead Bears can bite you. I'd be careful with the point spread in this football game.
Yeah, and the Bears coming off a win. I think now the Cutler's out of the way. Let's be real. They didn't like him. You know, the guys in the room, they can say what they want, but a lot of guys didn't like Cutler. They didn't like him before, and then after, he's talking about Trump, he upset. It never ended with him. I think they're just glad. You know, Barkley is Barkley, but, you know, I think getting a win, they can run the ball a little bit, and Detroit probably wins this game the way they, you know, the old Matt Stafford comeback again. I'm not saying the Lions lose the game, Mark, but I'm not ready to lay 9. And I've been betting on the Lions a lot this year, but I'm not laying 9 here. Huge game, Seahawks and Packers. Yeah, you know, the Packers to me are a dangerous team if they can get in the playoffs. Aaron Rodgers got a chip on his shoulder. Defense played better last week in the snow against Houston. They're a much more desperate team, man. You got Seattle coming in here. You know, Seattle, I guess, Seattle could be playing for a bye, but subconsciously they know that they're up 2.5 games in a division. And look, they were flat at Tampa. They were flat against the New Orleans Saints. They tied 6-6 against the Cards. The Seahawks, with the exception of that revenge game against the Pats, have not been a good road team.
No, they haven't. They've struggled, in fact, surprisingly, because that was their mettle. That's what they were good at and best at in the past. And they're coming off that big revenge win over Carolina last week. You remember, they wanted 2 games this year. They wanted New England for that playoff loss. They got that. They come up empty the next game. They wanted Carolina. This is the game after that. They're laying points into a quarterback here in Aaron Rodgers, who is just 14-1 straight up at home in the month of December. He plays as well as anybody does during this final month of the season here. The bottom line to me in this game is there's great numbers on both sides. There's no question. Trends galore on both sides of the football game. The bottom line to me is you've got Seattle 2.5 game lead inside their NFC West division. You've got Green Bay 2 games back in their NFC North division. This game is huge for the Green Bay Packers, and I think a letdown for the Seahawks might be in order.
Mark, I don't know if it's the fumes from the renovations in the studios or the fumes from my living room, but I don't know. I think this might be the week the Cleveland Browns win a football game, Mark. RG3 is going to be coming back. You know, Cincinnati, they won the game last week, but Cincinnati, they're not going to the playoffs. They know they're not going to the playoffs. The Browns have played them tough, and I have faith in your database, man, in which teams, the awesome angle of the week, in which teams, winless teams, off of a bye from week 6 and out are 18-2-1 against the spread. They've been sitting there for 2 weeks. They've been getting mocked, just preparing and breaking down the Bengals, man. You know, this is a huge game. This is the one. I like the points. I think they might be able to win.
How can you not like that 18-2 stat to the Cleveland Browns? Not only is it the Bengals, it's the team that Hugh Jackson used to be a coach of. So this is a big football game for Hugh Jackson as well to take on the Cincinnati Bengals this week. And we talk about winless teams here. The great stat is the fact that when you're winless following a bye week, anytime 44-44 straight up, that means they win these games 50% of the time. So that's in Cleveland's favor as well here. Cleveland wins 1 game this year. It's going to be Sunday against Cincinnati.
And I'll tell you what, Survivor players, if you're thinking about picking on the Browns, this is a dangerous spot to do it. I trust Detroit. I trust Detroit more in that spot. We got to get out of here, Mark. Check out Mark Lawrence over at playbook.com, available on your mobile devices as well. Thanks, Mark.
Gabe, my pleasure. Enjoy the games. I'll talk some bowls with you next week.
Can't wait. It's Mark Lawrence's bowl stats and playbook now available. Check it out. A wealth of information. I look forward to going home after the show and reading it, actually. We're going to bring in our bowl coverage early next week, and maybe Amorenzi Unfiltered later in the week. Nevertheless, Drew Pearson joins me next. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues, as does our run of excellent guests, man. Bernard Hopkins yesterday. Tomorrow we have legendary head coach, National Football League head coach Dan Reeves joining us on the program. But right now we're joined by a man who played in 3 Super Bowls, 3-time All-Pro, 3-time Pro Bowler, voted to the All-Decades 70s team. Voted by the NFL Network the 10th greatest Dallas Cowboy ever to play for the great Dallas Cowboy organization, and a very, very esteemed honor of being in the Dallas Cowboys Ring of Honor. The one and only Drew Pearson joins us on the Fantasy Sports Network. Drew, welcome to the show. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, Gabe. Thanks for having me.
You know what? I'm excited for having you on the program. I'm 46 years old right now, so... You know, I love the NFL, man. I started to get into it in about 1977 or so. So, you know, my childhood memories were pretty much of the Dallas Cowboys playing in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that was a good time for us in the 70s. We were rolling through 3 Super Bowls in 4 years. And 77, we won Super Bowl 12, and We came back the next year in Super Bowl 13, and was hoping to be the first team to win back-to-back Super Bowls, but ended up losing to the Pittsburgh Steelers in that one. So it was a good run. I played 11 seasons, Gabe, and played in 7 NFC championship games. So easily could have been, with a little luck here or there, played in 7 Super Bowls in my 11-year career. So that consistency of winning is what a lot of people still associate the greatness of the Dallas Cowboys, and that's why they still remember names like Drew Pearson and other great players that I played with.
Yeah, and, you know, it's funny, as you stated, the NFC Conference Championship games, one of the big moments, of course, the Montana to Clark catch. You guys nearly erased that, right? People forget about that. You know, that never happens.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing how history changes, you know, a game of inches, as they say, huh?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. We had leading. We had just scored to take the lead and put the game in the hands of our doomsday defense. And the 49ers took it right downfield, and they capped that touchdown drive off with the catch to Dwight Clark in the back of the end zone, and that gave them the lead. But we had still had a little time on the clock, and Danny White, who is now in quarterbacking, he instead of Staubach, he hit me over the middle for a long gain, about 20 yards or so, and I thought I was gone because I was double covered. The two guys in front of me, Ronnie Lott and Carlton Williamson, collided with each other, so I thought I was clear and free to run at least a 20 more yards or get ourselves in the field goal range to try to kick a game-winning field goal. But Eric Wright came out of nowhere, was able to grab my jersey and reinforce that grab by grabbing my shoulder pads and then yanked me down, and we came back the next play, and Danny White got hit and sacked and fumbled, and that was the game. And as they say, that was history for us, of course, but it also catapulted the 49ers into their run of greatness. And Bill Walsh was noted as a genius from that point on.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Joe Montana must have been a saint in a previous life or something, man, because the football gods,
amen.
The football gods smiled upon Joe over the years. You know, you mentioned a doomsday defense, and, you know, one of my favorite guests that I've had on over the years, and I used to be on Sirius Satellite Radio, one of my regular guests was a former teammate of yours in Hollywood Henderson. And, you know, what a character,
yes.
What a great guy, and just what a great character, and so much wealth of experience, and real wealth, actually, too, after. But a wealth of experience. But it made me think, too, of, you know, you had Too Tall, man. You had Hollywood Henderson. You had all these you had all these personalities, and Tony Dorsett. You had Tom Landry, who was so stoic. Yet everyone talks about Belichick. Everybody talks about Parcells. Mm. Everybody talks about Lombardi. I find that Tom Landry doesn't get talked about enough as, you know, some amongst the greatest coaches of all time. What was it like playing for Tom Landry? Because he was seemed so straight and old school, yet he had so many characters, and you guys were America's team with hot cheerleaders and personalities and all that.
Yeah, yeah. It was a little different from what Tom Landry was all about as far as, you know, the he didn't even want us to be called America's team. He didn't even want cheerleaders on the sideline. He didn't think it was American to have cheerleaders on the sideline.
Really? He didn't like the Cowboy cheer, really?
No, I mean, Tex Ram had to go to exorbitant lengths to convince Coach Landry that cheerleaders would be acceptable on the sideline. It wasn't looked at as derogatory, but he looked at it as pornography. And so Tex Ram goes into his office one day. Well, he calls Coach Landry into his office one day, and he has this video projector going, and it's the movie Debbie Does Dallas. And he shows that to Coach Landry, and he says, "Coach, that's pornography." And Coach Landry, of course, walked right out of the room. And the rest, as they say, is history, because the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders did become part of us, and now they are part of the Dallas Cowboys on a national basis. But the first thing had to convince Coach Landry, because he was so straight. Yeah, we had a lot of characters on the team and individual guys, but those guys also understood that none of the things that we were able to accomplish or do or be off the field would not be happening if we don't do what we need to do on the field. And Coach Landry kept us straight in that locker room. And because he had good quality guys, you know, we might have been a little crazy, a little rebels or rowdy at some times. But once we got in that locker room, you know, it was all about discipline. And we're all focused, and he knew he had guys that he could count on. And he knew he got guys that were prepared in the way that we needed to prepare to go out and win football games. Everything with Coach Landry gave was predicated on discipline. And to me, still to this day, if you don't have discipline within your team, you let those inmates run the asylum, so to speak, then you're not going to have much success. That's why the Cowboys are doing so well now. They got discipline within that locker room. You know, we don't have guys that we can't depend on anymore in that locker room. That's a good correlation of what they're doing now and why they're doing it compared to what we did back in the 70s and 80s, and, of course, what the Jimmy Johnson and the 90 Cowboys did as well.
Yeah, it shows how contagious it is, too, isn't it? Because you're right, this year, I mean, last year, in the last couple of years, man, it was like every day, oh, this Dallas Cowboy player got's getting suspended. This guy, you know, this guy failed a drug test. This, even coming into the year, we were like, who's there on the defensive line, man? They got like three or four guys suspended, and it's always seemed to be a circus. But you're right. It's a tight ship right now. Everybody's accountable to each other. I think Garrett's doing a great job. Now, one thing with being the Cowboys, Drew, as you know, and, you know, you've been in the Dallas media for years as well, everyone wants to compare all the time. You know, Michael Irvin, Drew Pearson. Ooh, Dez Bryant, Michael Irvin. But one comparison that I did sort of see is the fact that I didn't realize, because I was 8 years old in 1978, but I watched the game, and I remember I had a hockey game that day, and I was mad because I was like, what, the Super Bowl used to be early. It was like the first primetime Super Bowl game, which I didn't realize, so I was just reading about. But I didn't realize at the time that Tony Dorsett was a rookie when you guys won the Super Bowl, when you beat Denver. So there is a little bit of comparison here with Elliott coming in here right now. When you look at these guys, Dak seems to have ice in his veins. And you know what stuck out to me? When he lost his mother at a young age at Mississippi State. And the composure that he showed, the leadership that he showed, I could tell right there that he was a cut above. He wasn't a regular kid. That was before he was on anybody's radar. This kid's got ice in his veins. And then you got Zeke with a little bit of swagger. You know, this Dallas Cowboy team, you know, how for real are they? And I wanted to ask you, Drew, before we run out of time, Michael Irvin said that it'd be better if the Cowboys lost a game so they could refocus. Do you agree with that, or is it too late for that right now to lose a game? It's almost like that college basketball team, right? Man, we're 30-0. I'd almost rather lose my conference tournament because my kids are getting too fat right now. What's your take on that?
No, I don't agree with Michael. You know, he's really smart, because he was smart enough to wear the 88s and take it to a new level. But I don't agree with that assessment that we need to lose a game. You know, there is no tougher game that we played than last Thursday on Thanksgiving. Last Thursday night against the Minnesota Vikings in Minnesota. That crowd and how tough that game was. And we found some way to win. That's all you need to develop the mental toughness you need and the focus you need with a football team. I don't necessarily agree that you need to lose a football game to refocus and know what's at stake. And if we can continue to win games, and, you know, we're not just winning these games easily. We're pulling out games in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
We're pulling out games in overtime. We won three games against quality opponents, three games in 12 days. All these things are enough to get you ready to play in the playoffs and go for that title of winning the Super Bowl and being that NFL champion. So, no, I don't think we need to lose a game to gain that edge because the way these games are working out in the NFL nowadays, they're all close. You can gain an edge by just winning games now in the NFL because no one's blowing no one out.
No, you're right. This thing's wide open.
Football games, and they all go down to the wire.
I want to ask you, we got about 90 seconds here on the way out. Jerry Jones did an interview, I guess it was yesterday, on The Fan in Dallas, in which he stated, you know, the starters are going to play, man. We're not looking to rest, guys. We want to keep things going, except for one guy. And then he point blank said, you know, Tony's nearly ready, and I want to see Tony out there. I want him to be part of this, and I want him to be ready in case something happens to Dak. And I like that. I like that they want to get him involved. And it's a great point, man. You get into the playoffs, something happens, Dak goes down, and Tony hasn't thrown a pass in 14 months. We got a problem. How do you handle this? And do you agree with Jerry's assessment?
Well, first of all, I agree that, no, don't rest no players. Let's keep rolling through this. You know, this ain't the NBA where they rest guys and all that kind of stuff. This ain't Major League Baseball where they rest guys. You know, we play 16 weeks, 17 weeks of the season. You know, you got to have guys that are conditioned and ready to play throughout the schedule because you don't want to lose this edge that they've gained so far. But then, you know, if we run into a situation where, you know, we're blowing somebody out and, you know, we can – take Dak out of the game, take Zeke out of the game, and put the backups in, including Tony Romo, then that's fine. But don't force that. If it happens on a natural basis, let it happen. But don't force it. Don't mess up what you got going now. And keep things rolling, and hopefully we'll continue to do that.
Yeah, Drew, I'm a Buffalo Bill fan, man. We were rolling along with Doug Flutie. Remember they said along with Doug Flutie, and they said, no, Doug, we just want Johnson to play this last game. Don't worry. Don't worry about it. And then after, they're like, no, Johnson's going to play in the playoff game. Like you said, man, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, man.
That's right. Keep rolling, man. It's too hard to get to this point, so don't start making adjustments now. You know, keep doing what you're doing. That's what it's going to take to make a splash in the playoffs. We don't want to just get to the playoffs. We want to make a splash there. This is a good opportunity this year for the Cowboys to do something once they get into the playoffs. So let's be ready once we get there, for sure.
Drew, great stuff, man. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us.
Gabe, anytime, man. Good stuff on your part as well. Thank you, sir.
I appreciate that. Thanks for the time, sir. There's Drew Pearson with us. Really enjoy. We could have went on and on, man. Tom Landry watching porn. Debbie Does Dallas. That's awesome. All right, Paul Bovey joins us next. Game Time Decisions on Fantasy Sports Network continues. That was freaking awesome, man, with Drew Pearson. You can tell Drew's a serious guy. He's still in the media. He's a lifer with the Dallas Cowboys, so he's in the family. But I like how he spoke honestly, but I really wasn't expecting a Debbie Does Dallas story involving Tom Landry. I'm so glad I asked about Coach Landry. Let's bring in Paul Bovey right now, who's, he's a little older than I am, so Paul's going to remember the 70s and the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders era as well. But, Paul, even though I was a Bills fan growing up, you know, everyone always had a soft spot in their heart for the Cowboys. That's how they became America's team, man. The TV show Dallas, the hot cheerleaders, you know, the stadium, the flashy, the uniforms, the star. And it's funny to hear Drew Pearson just telling me that Landry protested the cheerleaders and hated the term America's team.
Really? I wasn't aware of that, but I am a Dallas Cowboys fan back in the 70s. I was watching the Dallas Cowboys. Thanksgiving Day, it was a tradition. Drew Pearson is a great name in Cowboy history.
Yeah, he really is. So I didn't realize. Yeah, you were one of those New Yorkers. I remember growing up, too, watching over the years. And I'll always be fascinated by how many Cowboy fans, man, were at the Meadowlands at Giant games. So I imagine you were one of them over the years.
Well, I was a Giant fan, and I had been going to games since the 60s. Look, I saw Gale Sayers, but I also saw Roger Staubach, Craig Morton, and Craig Morton ended up playing for the Giants also. So it was just like one of these relationships where I really appreciated good football, and since we didn't have it in New York, I had to look to Dallas.
All right, so it's been a while since I've had good football in Oakland. Who knows, maybe you and I will go to a Raider game in Vegas sometime in the future, Paul. But there's still the Oakland Raiders right now, but they're a hot football team going into Kansas City, who I'm starting to buy into right now, man. To me, Kansas City are always right there, but they're a touchdown away all the time. I like what Tyreek Hill brings to the table. I like that Andy Reid is taking more risks this year with fake punts and reverses and trick plays. They seem to be more aggressive. Huge football game here, Paul, tomorrow night.
Yeah, and Gabe, I can't help but remember what Kansas City did in that first game to Oakland. They were one of the few teams this year that completely just shut them down. And the Chiefs have had their moments, both positive and negative, this year, but this is a game I feel they can win. Look, Alex Smith is the ultimate game manager. He's gotten it done the whole year with his short passing game, and they can control the Raider receivers. I think the Raider receivers got off this past Sunday in part because I'm not a believer in the Buffalo defense, and the cornerback, Darby, was out, and I think that led the way to that plethora of points in the second half. But I think the Chiefs get it done here.
All right, Paul. So I wanted to talk some NBA because the NBA is intriguing tonight. Three games on tap. The Cavaliers and the Knicks. I was on the Knicks last night in Miami. It wasn't looking good in the first half, but they ended up getting it done. The Cavs have been off. It's 8.5, though. The number just feels a little high. But then we throw in this Phil Jackson stuff. I wanted to spend more time on the Warrior game, so quick take on this one. What do you make? Does LeBron come in here and try to run the score up because of the Phil Jackson posse comments, and now he refuses to apologize?
Well, it's possible. Knowing LeBron in the way he is, I wouldn't be surprised. But the question is, will the Knicks allow it? Now, the Knicks have not been great on the second of the back-to-backs. They've basically, cratered. They've given up a lot of points, and this is going to be a test for them. I remember that first game in the Garden off a back-to-back. They gave up 119 to Houston, lost by well into double digits, and we'll see what happens. I was at that game last night, by the way, and it was full of Knicks fans. It was like you were in the Garden, and there were a lot of empty seats too. So Miami Heat fans have gone into hiatus, which is pretty much standard practice when their team is in the doldrums.
Yeah, exactly. Those hardcore Heat fans. I know. I liked the Knicks last night. So yeah, that's right. You're still in Florida right now. All right, quickly on this game, and then we'll get to the primetime main event tonight. But the Lakers and Rockets, how about that last week? I told you, I rode the Rockets. They play the Warriors tough, this Rockets team. Listen, generally I wouldn't want to lay 13.5 points here, but I'm looking at the Lakers. Tarek Black got hurt the other night. D'Angelo Russell, Nick Young, Jose Calderon, all out. It's nice for the development of Brandon Ingram, but, Lou Williams is heaving up a million shots a game right now, but to me, this could have high-scoring route written all over it.
I agree. And they're 3-8 with Russell, 1-5 without Young. Now Black is out. They really need those guys back. And they were doing quite well before they went down. But unfortunately, it's not been a good situation over the last 5-7 games. But they're going to get these guys back soon. But for the time being, I think you're right, Gabe. I think the Rockets, and I'm giving this team a lot of credit at 14-7, having only played 7 home games, they've exceeded expectations. I think the Rockets will probably lay one on the Lakers tonight in a highest scoring game.
Yeah, exactly. It just has that, 127-106 feel to it. I know. All right, and finally, in closing, I look forward to your take on this one. Warriors are averaging 120 points a game. The Clippers were red hot to start the season. And then it came back down to earth a little bit. I was on the Pacers the other night. But a focused Clipper team is always a dangerous Clipper team. That we saw what they could do when they went to Cleveland earlier this year. These guys don't like each other. And may my grandmother rest in peace. But it's funny because I remember this game like it was yesterday. And it was the last time I spent Christmas at my grandmother's house. But it was Christmas night. It's been 6 straight games. But I remember thinking back then, 2 years ago, wow, this Warriors and Clippers, these guys are getting good. This is before the Warriors won anything. I'm like, this rivalry's getting good. They don't like each other. The Warriors are beating them 6 straight. They're laying 4 tonight. I think we got some points on the board tonight. I mean, the Warriors are putting up 120 a game. But what about the 4 points, man? I'm actually leaning with the Clippers tonight.
It's a tough one, Gabe. You're right. 10-1. The Clippers started out 6-5 of recently, 16-6 overall. Give you a lot of credit the other night because figuring that was a revenge game, having lost to Indiana a few nights ago, they were going to blow them out. Well, it started out that way, and by the time the second half rolled around, the Clippers were playing catch-up basketball. But I don't have a lot of faith in this team right now. I just don't. There's games in there where you want to make an excuse and say, yeah, maybe they weren't focused, but there's too many of those. They've lost three games by double digits. They've given up a lot of points in the paint. Last game, 58 points in the paint to Indy. 52 prior, game before that, 52 to the Nets. So if you can't stop the Warriors in the paint, you're not going to have much of a chance because you know they're going to score from outside. So I'm going to agree with you on this one. I'm going to say the game is going to go over. Would I take the Clippers here? Probably not. I wouldn't lay 4 points on the road, so I'd probably stand pat and just defer to the side. I mean, the total, and I would side with you.
Paul Bovey, VegasInsider.com. Check out the website. You can get all of Paul's selections. He's killing it on the grid and on the hardwood. VegasInsider.com. You'll find Paul Bovey right on the front page. Paul, it's always a pleasure, man. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, Gabe.
There's Paul Bovey with us. Take a quick break. We'll come back with our plays of the day. All right, let's start off with the National Basketball Association this evening. We've been doing pretty well. Let's keep it rolling tonight. You guys know, man, I've been giving you the Los Angeles Lakers often, but we can't do it tonight, all right? Black is out. Nick Young is out. Calderon sucks, but he's out. And, oh, yeah, D'Angelo Russell is still out. It's good for Brandon Ingram's development, but it's bad for the Lakers to cover the number tonight. I think the Houston Rockets just lay a beat down tonight. And you guys know me, man. I never lay 13.5 points in an NBA game. But to me, I just feel like it's going to be like, 126 to 104 type of deal this evening. So let's lay the points with the Rockets and let's go over the number. The Pacers. I cashed a ticket with the Pacers the other night in Los Angeles against the Clippers. And then I told you guys they're going to get waxed the next night at Oakland, and they did. Now they've had a day off. They're going to play better. And it was Phoenix that played last night in Utah. It was a bad spot for the Suns. Give me the Pacers tonight. Monster game, man. I'm really looking forward to watching this game tonight. Clippers and Warriors. I don't love it, but I think the Clippers step up tonight. Be careful with it. Go bigger on the over. The game's going to be a freaking track meet. The game's going to go over the number. A little college basketball. We're going to backdoor Kentucky with a little Valparaiso action. Give me Valpo plus 20, man. These guys are a veteran team. I think they can hang with Kentucky. Give me the 20 points. It's going to go over $1.55. Creighton are damn good. Lay the 4 against Nebraska. Let's go over 146. May the winners be yours.